From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. As if the roads weren't bad enough thanks to traffic, thieves are stripping the freeways in the Inland Empire, making off with traffic signals, lights, guardrails, even the brass heads off roadside irrigation systems. Law enforcement and Caltrans officials warned yesterday metal thefts are on the rise, along with prices on the resale market. Caltrans plans to put up more surveillance cameras, but officials urge drivers to report suspicious behavior to 911. After a weekend of close calls, people who live in Sierra Madre in the foothills northeast of Los Angeles made it through the year's first major wildfire without major damage. KPCC's Brooke Binkowski visited with residents who say they're grateful they escaped unharmed.
The fire won't be fully contained for several days, but it's been pushed away from neighborhoods and into the Angeles National Forest. The nearly 600-acre, unseasonably early fire began Saturday afternoon. 1,000 households were evacuated before the fire was beaten back into the forest. Officials have allowed most people to return home. Bill Schlody has lived here for decades. He works as a mechanic now, but for years he was a Sierra Madre firefighter.
The mop-up is going to probably take at least another 4 or 5 weeks. The hand crews are going to walk the area. They're going to have to go through and eventually make sure all the fires are out and the hot spots And that takes time, and that's a hard job. It's a hard job being on a hand crew. Those guys that are on those crews, and or women, if there are any, they really earn their pay when they're up there.
Sierra Madre residents are treating the firefighters like rock stars. People stop them on the streets to shake their hands. Hand-lettered signs are posted everywhere, thanking crews for saving every home. Customers are donating money, so restaurants and coffee shops can deliver fresh food and cold drinks to the crews. L.A. County Fire Captain Sal Chavez has been deployed near the town since early Sunday.
It's been a great reception from the folks here, Sierra Madre. You know, I just ran into my sister-in-law, actually. Even she was very grateful. The guys did an outstanding job.
Officials are investigating the fire's cause. Forest fires here are often sparked by lightning strikes, but there were no storms last Saturday. They say this out-of-season fire may have been caused by humans. For the California Report, I'm Brooke Binkowski in Los Angeles.
Federal wildlife managers are desperate to find ways to bolster the sagging number of salmon that spawn in the Sacramento River. So this year, they're trying again a tactic they haven't tried in years. They're taking their fish on the road. Craig Miller reports from Shasta County.
Ready, set, and they're off. Okay, it's not exactly post time at Churchill Downs. But that pump is the starting bell for 12 million tiny salmon called smolt, reared from eggs at the Coleman National Fish Hatchery in Anderson. 150 feet away at the other end of this concrete pond, Jason Folks and two co-workers are using large aquarium nets to scoop up smolt that evaded the pumps.
Picking the stragglers that didn't make it into the pump and moving them over to the next raceway that's going to be crowded up and pumped out to the creek.
The tiny fish are pushed through about 800 feet of pipeline and plunked into Battle Creek. From there, it's up to them to find the main trunk of the Sacramento and navigate all the way down to open sea. The trip takes about a week for those that make it.
It's phenomenal.
Scott Hamelberg manages the hatchery for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
They'll travel in excess of 300 miles downstream through Sacramento, out through San Francisco, out through the Golden Gate Bridge. They'll spend anywhere from 2 to 3 years out in the ocean, and then they'll return back to freshwater as adults.
It's a treacherous journey. In normal times, fewer than 1% make it all the way back upstream to spawn. But these are not normal times. Lately, the number that have returned to the Sacramento has been alarmingly small for reasons not entirely understood.
We go from 500,000 in 2002 down to, who knows, this coming year, 10,000 maybe back to Battle Creek, we're just guessing. And that's unprecedented. That's what has us concerned.
So this year, they'll try to give the salmon a break by giving them a lift. More than 1 million smolt will take the freeway to freedom in huge 18-wheel tankers. The idea is to give them a kind of police escort around the obstacle course of predators, irrigation pumps, and other hazards that lie in the path of tiny migrating salmon fresh from the hatchery.
Especially the first few hours, they're just gazing around saying, where am I?
Peter Moyle is a fish biologist at UC Davis.
These are not fish that are used to living in the wild. You're throwing them out, thousands of fish at one time. There are predators in the river that find them to be easy prey. Tons of birds, fish, and everything else, and anything that's nearby is going to eat them.
But there's also a danger in trucking fish. It makes it a lot harder for the salmon to find their way back as adults. Scott Hamelberg.
People talk about, you know, salmon coming back to their birthplace, and that's very true. They do. When we release our fish on station, they are picking up cues all the way from Battle Creek, all the way out in the Sacramento River, down towards San Francisco and out the bay. Fish that are trucked, however, those cues are broken.
When salmon lose that chain of cues, they're less likely to find their genetic spawning grounds. Biologists call that straying. State-run hatcheries routinely truck fish downriver, but none of them are as far upriver as this federal hatchery in Anderson. This is the first time in more than 15 years that Coleman Hatchery has taken the interstate. Hamelberg says this is an experiment, not a complete solution to the shrinking salmon population.
But given the right suite of environmental conditions coming together again, we do believe that these populations can rebound.
Moyle, the UC biologist, agrees up to a point. Fishing has been curtailed this year, and after a temporary reversal, the ocean upwelling that nurtures food for growing salmon has resumed.
It's always possible that some of these fish may do exceptionally well in the ocean this year, because the ocean conditions now are pretty good. And you can imagine exceptionally high survival rates of the fish that are out there, so that we may be surprised.
Even so, Moyle expects that fewer than 60,000 fall-run Chinook will return to the Sacramento to spawn this year. That would be the lowest number in more than 50 years of tracking them. For the California Report, I'm Craig Miller.
We've got photos of smolt getting ready for a big trip on our website, californiareport.org. That's the California Report for Wednesday, April 30th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report. Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Endowment, working to build healthier communities that support children, youth, and families. Online at www.calendow.org. And the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995.